Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
And we're back. So, Matt, anything been going on since the last time we recorded?
Nah, I think it's been pretty uneventful, not a whole lot going on, nothing happening in the world, you know, just same old, same old.
Yeah, let's see. I think our last show, we were talking about which minor leaguers impressed us in spring training.
And now it appears, at least doesn't matter for the time being, at least for a short while yet. Hopefully just a short while.
Yeah, we are recording this on what should have been opening day for the major leagues, March 26th. So it's been kind of fun being online. MLB's been doing a opening day at home sort of thing where they've been replaying some highlight games. And for the Braves, it was game three of the 2018 NLCS, most notably known for Ronald Acuna's grand slam in the second inning. And I did watch that, and I did get goosebumps and maybe even a tear in my eye because it was that good.
Yeah, I didn't watch it myself. Of course, I was working from home, but still working. But yeah, I just decided not to watch that one because I know what came after that game. So that just kind of brought me down a little bit.
I had actually totally forgotten that Sean Newcomb had drawn a two-out bases-loaded walk to bring up Acuna for that. And I don't think it was funny to see just how happy Newcomb was that he got on base without having to swing the bat. I wonder if that had ever happened to him before.
On four pitches.
Yes. I'd actually totally forgotten about that piece. So anyway, we have a little bit of minor league news, and then we're going to do our 2020 Braves minor league draft. It's just me and Matt, and we're going to be drafting minor leaguers from the organization, and we'll keep track of them through hopefully season coming up. Last year we did one kind of mid-season. It was kind of an impromptu, and it really didn't count, mostly because I got completely curb stomped. Matt, I think the final score was something like 9-1 in your favor.
Well, we'll see. Change your luck here with what's going on. Of course, on this particular draft, we're going to have a few other variables in the equation now about possibly when they're going to start, how long is it going to be? I mean, what happens with short season ball?
Yeah, I think we're going to change a few things up. For one thing, I think we're only going to count stats that are in the minor league. So if they get called up to Atlanta, the stats that they have in Atlanta won't count. We are going to open it up to everybody in the organization. So if, for example, if I draft Mike Foltynewicz and he somehow gets sent back down to the minors again, his minor league stats will count, but his major league stats won't count. So that's something we'll have to figure out. But before we get into all that, we'll go ahead and go through the minor league stuff. And then for people who are listening and that are not interested in our fantasy draft, and I won't begrudge any of you for not being interested in that, you can feel free to drop out with our blessing. All right. So, Matt, we did get news on a minor leaguer that is coming back from injury. What do you got?
Corbin Klaus, he pitched at Gwinnett last season. He had an interview with his hometown newspaper, and he revealed that he had had surgery back in November. We knew he had been injured and he had had some kind of surgery. We just weren't sure of the nature of it, but he got pretty specific with it, saying he had a tear in the front of the labrum of his shoulder and the scar tissue that was surrounding it. So he had the operation done back in November, and he was on track to start throwing in about a month or two with a possible return date of around July. Well, we'll see how much that's affected by what all is going on, but if he's coming back in July, that might actually get him, depending on what happens around the start of the season. But at least we have more of a idea of the nature of his injury and a timeline for his return now.
Yeah, teams are understandably very cautious about putting out a lot of information about minor league injuries. And, you know, there's legal reasons for that. So sometimes we don't know exactly why somebody is hurt. We knew from Klaus's Twitter feed, I think, or Instagram or something like that, that he had undergone surgery. So the specifics are nice. It was shoulder. It wasn't elbow. It wasn't Tommy John surgery, which would be a 12 to 18 month turnaround. So wishing, you know, a good rehab for Corbin Klaus, and hopefully he can contribute for to the Gwinnett Stripers this year. The news in all of baseball right now is the COVID-19 stoppage and everything that is coming from that. As we speak right now, MLB and the Players Association are hammering out the framework of an agreement on what to happen when the games are able to start back. Some things are starting to leak out. It looks like players will be paid on a prorated basis based on the number of games that they'll be able to get in. It looks like they're looking at trying to play as many games out of the 162 game schedule as possible, even if that means scheduling doubleheaders. I saw somewhere and said even possibly if there's maybe two scheduled doubleheaders a week, which seems really, really ambitious, pushing the regular season back and holding playoffs in November at neutral sites. So all that's really interesting stuff. On the minor league side, probably the biggest news that's been leaked out is discussion about the draft. Probably not surprisingly, they're talking about moving the draft back to July and then abbreviating the draft. Normally it's 40 rounds. The last I saw was that the rounds may be shortened to 10 and that any bonuses that are paid out for the draft will be prorated. They would get, you know, some small percentage up front and then 45% in July 2021. And then another 45% in July 22. As for non-drafted players, basically undrafted free agents, they would have a capped bonus of $10,000. I have some thoughts about this, but Matt, why don't you share what you think about this scheme?
Yeah, I imagine your thoughts are probably along the lines of mine, not positive at all, but you can kind of see what's going on here. MLB is trying to take this opportunity of what's going on to kind of revamp the whole draft minor league and use colleges and high schools as their feeder system. And with the talk that they could possibly be eliminating 42 teams after the 2020 season, they won't have the need to, if they eliminate those teams, they won't have the need to backfill with players. And if you're only drafting 10 players, and there's speculation it can be as little as 5 rounds. Between those 10 rounds and the undrafted free agents they get, there won't be a whole lot of players coming in any system season. So now what's going to happen is a lot of the players that may have come out before, they'll just go on to college instead if their maximum bonus are looking at $10,000, because by the time you take a cut for an agent and get taxed and everything, that's going to amount to almost nothing. So what I think is going to happen at that point, they'll just go on to college. Now, in the college realm, most every team has canceled their season, is that they're adding a year of eligibility for players, so they don't have to worry about coming out. So anybody who would have been a college senior sign this season, they're going to get to go back to school for another season. So going forward, you can kind of see where MLB is kind of going to start using college as their feeder system.
Yes, and it fits in nicely, like you said, with their plans with the minor leagues anyway. I have not heard anything about continued negotiations with minor league baseball, who, of course, have been vigorously fighting the MLB proposal to eliminate, 43 teams, something like that. So it feels like MLB is using the COVID-19 emergency here as a way to push their agenda. And I think it's pretty ugly. They want to shorten the draft for this year. That's certainly understandable. I mean, they haven't had the opportunity to scout a whole bunch of players, obviously, and when you're dealing with the kind of bonuses we're talking about, you want to make sure. So I don't begrudge MLB for wanting to shorten the draft this year, but the idea of capping the bonuses for undrafted free agents as low as $10,000, I think that's really penny pitching here. If you feel strongly enough for a player to give them a bonus and give them a good bonus, then teams should be willing to pony up.
Yeah, and seeing the thing about where they're going to prorate the bonuses 10% this year, 45 each of the next two seasons, I could see them wanting to back off a little bit this season just because there's a possibility, however remote, that there's no season played this year and therefore would be no money coming in to be able to back off on the front end of the bonuses. But spreading it out over the next two seasons seems a little dicey at best.
Yeah, especially since it's not like they don't have any revenue. They'd have all the ticket revenue that they collected before the start of the crisis. So, yeah, and as far as I know, no team has refunded any money for any ticket that has been sold so far.
And they won't until the games are officially canceled. But in the meantime, teams are still selling merchandise, and there's money coming in from that. So, I mean, I'm sure teams sell more than enough merchandise to help cover those bonuses.
There is a good piece of news. I thought this was really cool. Adam Wainwright, of course, a former Braves prospect and now a St. Louis Cardinal and a St. Louis, one of their all-time greats now, you know, and the veteran guy on that team, really did something cool. It was announced today that he is donating personally $250,000 to help the Cardinal minor leaguers. And I think that's fantastic. And kudos to Adam Wainwright. And I would love to see a Brave or several Braves try to do something similar for the Braves in our system. But even better, I would prefer if the organization itself or even ownership, Terry McQuirk and Liberty Media or somebody like that to form some sort of program to help these minor leaguers out who have not gotten paid other than their stipend. And as the season progresses, they're going to lose that as well.
Yeah. And that stipend, that was not a lot of money. You're talking about your housing and your per diem for up until the regular season started. So that was, I mean, that very definition of chump change, but it does help these guys out who are getting absolutely no money. It at least gets them enough money to help cover their transportation home and give them a little bit to get set up with.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, there was a GoFundMe put out by a fan for in the benefit of GCL catcher Emmanuel Gitian, who is Venezuelan and could not get back home after the start of the crisis. So he is actually still down in Florida, I believe, and, you know, still trying to work out and stay loose. So there's a need for these guys to have some sort of security for, you know, food security and just roof over their head sort of thing for some of these guys, especially the international guys.
I can't imagine what it's like to be in a foreign country where, I mean, it's definitely not the first language or in some cases, not even their second language and being stuck here, not being able to get a job because nobody, I mean, there's a lot of people that are out of jobs right now and it's just really bad for them. So any little bit of money they're getting is, I'm sure, coming in great use to them.
All right. Well, not a lot of news right now. So that's going to be it as far as that part of the podcast. Coming up will be our 2020 minor league draft. And I hope you guys enjoy that. And for folks that are interested, feel free to drop out now. And we thank you for tuning in. Now, before the draft, I made a die roll to determine who goes first, and I came up with the roll, so I will get the first pick. Now, the basic rules here, this is going to be standard rotisserie scoring, and it'll be a 26-man team now. First base, second base, third base, shortstop, four outfielders, corner infield, middle infield, DH. Two catchers, five starting pitchers, and eight relievers. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, only the stats in the minor leagues will count. So buyer beware on anybody that may be on the cusp of making the major leagues. And then last year, we didn't have any cuts. Basically, once you buy it, you got it. Because of the nature of this season, for example, we don't even know who's on rosters right now and probably won't for several weeks, if not months. So we're going to allow one cut and sign a week. So, for example, if I sign Joe Smith and Joe Smith ends up getting released or promoted to Atlanta, I would have the opportunity to release him and get another player. Matt, you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, with the first overall pick, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to take, I think is the best player in the system, and that's Christian Pache.
I am shocked and amazed at your selection.
Yeah, I thought you would be. You know, just an all-round player. He should give me power. He should give me speed. I like the fact that he was running more in spring training, so hopefully he'll carry that over. And if he gets promoted, I'll be crying but also happy. So Christian Pache is my number one pick.
Yep, that's a good pick. And the work he was doing on his stolen bases in camp, I think, will help that category out a good bit. For my first pick, I'm going to pick another outfielder who plays alongside of McQuinnett, Drew Waters. Now, case of Drew Waters, hopefully we start seeing some more power out of him this season. He'll get a full season with that AAA baseball, so hopefully they'll help the power numbers out. He stole a few bases last year, and hopefully he can improve on that with the more experience he gets as he moves up in level. I don't know if he'll hit the way he hit last season from an average standpoint because of the high BABIP, but it's definitely worth keeping an eye on, and being a very highly rated prospect in the Braves system, is worth definitely taking him this early in the draft.
Yep. Now I'm going to try to find some scarcity here, and I'm going to maybe go a little bit crazy here. I'm going to take outfielder Justin Dean at this point. Dean is the fastest guy in the system. He's probably guaranteed at least 20 stolen bases, probably more in the 35 to 40 range. And, he'll start somewhere. So trying to corner that stolen base category with an early Justin Dean selection here.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a position of even more scarcity. I'm going to choose, and this it seems odd to take him this early, but you'll hear why in a second. I'm going to choose CJ Alexander. Third base. He could be starting the season as third baseman at Mississippi, but the reason is third base in the system, especially if Austin Riley starts the season in Atlanta, which is a very good possibility once they come back, and if they have expanded rosters, I see it as a very likely possibility. Third base is not a position of great depth in the Braves system. At Gwinnett, it's mostly going to be a rotation of veteran players there. And once you get below double A, there's not a whole lot going on at the third base position. So I'm going to go ahead and jump on CJ early and try to get some stability at my third base spot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that we've clearly thought along the same lines here because he was on my short list here for very early. So I'm going to go ahead and take another position of scarcity, which weirdly enough is first base, and I'll go ahead and grab Bryce Ball.
Oh, yeah.
The reasoning here is very simple. He is very likely to hit a lot of home runs.
All right. I am going to go to starting rotation, and I will choose Kyle Wright. He's had a standout camp this season, but I believe with the way the season's going to be laid out now, and if Cole Hamels is recovering from his injury, there's just really not going to be any room for Kyle Wright in the rotation to start off the season. He might make his way up there at some point, but when you've got Soroka, Fried, and Folty and ensconced in the top three spots, and looks to be like Felix Hernandez and Sean Newcomb in the four and five spots, and then if Hamels is ready, that's another way. So that puts Kyle Wright at number seven. So I don't see him starting the season with the big club, although I figure at some point he'll make his way up there. But he had a very great second half at Gwinnett last season, and I figure he's turned a corner in his development and put up some big numbers in AAA.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I think he will make the Atlanta Braves team, and here's why. I think you're right. Cole Hamels will probably be ready to start the season, and I think the odd man out is going to be Felix Hernandez, and that they'll probably give him his release so he can go pick up on some with another team, which leaves Newcomb and Wright for the fifth starter spot. And I think with the uncertainty of the season, I think it's more likely that they put Newcomb in the bullpen and start with Wright. But we will see.
Yep, those are the kind of gambles we're having to deal with during this time of uncertainty.
Yep. All right, well, you started pitching, so I feel like I need to counter. So I'll go ahead and grab Ian Anderson. He was my first choice for pitching. Lots of strikeouts. Unlike Wright, I am certain he will pitch all or nearly all the season in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think that's the case as well. I just don't see a scenario where he comes up to the major leagues this season, especially in what looks to be a very shortened version. He had barely a month at AAA last season, and I think by the time you add in what he's going to get this season, it might add up to almost a season of development. So, yeah, that's a good pick, and I think once he gets through an adjustment period, he's going to have a very solid AAA campaign. All right, you took some power a moment ago. I think I'm going to follow right behind you. It seems if it wasn't fantasy, where we're looking for fantasy numbers, this would not be my pick in this position, but I'm going to take Alex Jackson as my catcher. And that's because I need some home runs, and that's where I'm going to get them. So if he has a season anything like last year, he'll put up some big home run stats, although batting averages will not help, and he's not certainly not going to steal any bases.
Yeah, that was literally going to be my next pick, and if I recall, last year he really took off right after we drafted. He and Kyle Wright, your last two picks, were key players in your rise to the utter annihilation of my team last year. So, so I'm a little bummed out about that. I have to rethink here who I'm going to go with. I think I'll stick with starting pitching, and I'm going to go with Tucker Davidson. Similar to my thinking on Ian Anderson, I think he's going to spend most of the year in AAA, and I think he'll spend most of the year as a starter. He just was terrific last year. He looked really strong in spring training as well. He should rack up strikeouts, and I'm a little concerned about him being in AAA now, and obviously with the livelier ball, but I still think he's going to put up some good numbers for me. Tucker Davidson. My fifth pick.
Yeah, I had him pretty high up on my starters as well. And based on that, I'm going to take another starting pitcher right behind him, but it may not be the one you think. I'm going to take Jacyl De La Cruz from Mississippi. There are some other ones that might be more highly rated in the system, but what I'm going to do is look at his campaign he had last year, where he was very good performances, including a no-hitter in Florida. He was very solid at Mississippi and will most likely return there to start the season. And still using the double-A baseball, he's going to have a solid, solid campaign, at least up until the time he gets moved up to triple-A. And with a log jam up there, he might not even make it up there this season.
Boo hiss. That was exactly going to be the next pitcher I picked. So for all the reasons that you said. So, yeah, I'm pretty bummed you got JDLC there. So, you know what? I'm going to counter by going back to offense, and I want more home runs. So I'm going to grab Peter O'Brien off the Gwinnett roster and put him at designated hitter, where he belongs even on a real team.
Yeah, I've looked at O'Brien myself. I know he's going to give you a ton of home runs. And I've looked at him as possible. I'm just not 100% sure he's going to make it all the way down to Gwinnett. I don't know if maybe the Braves will give him his release if he has an opportunity somewhere else. But I figure he probably will get there. I don't see it as a total 100% slam dunk.
At this point, I think he's more likely to be at Gwinnett than Yonder Alonso.
Oh, I didn't even have Alonso on my depth chart. I don't think Alonso makes any roster for the Braves.
Okay.
He just hasn't had a good camp, and I just don't see the fact of him going down. So don't worry about me swiping him. If you want to take a Yonder Alonso, feel free.
Okay, I will.
All right, my next pick, I'm going to go back to offense as well. And we saw a decent amount of development in what brief time he had in the minors for the Braves last season at Rome. I'm going to take shortstop Braden Shoemake. That he had a really, really good stint at Rome. He got moved up to skip Florida, went straight to Mississippi. He didn't fare quite as well, but he is still early in his development as a Brave, and he is really rising up the charts. A lot of the prospect gurus out there are really starting to hammer on him and starting to see some potential 60-grade power out of him. So if I can get I think I can get a little bit of contribution from all the different categories from Mr. Shoemake.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Definitely the top shortstop on the board. And I think that is going to prompt me to go ahead and go middle infielder as well. I'm going to go ahead and take Riley Unruh, who's eligible at third and short. And for now, I'll put him at short. I also liked what I was seeing from him in spring training, and it seemed like he was running a whole lot. So I'm hoping that between Unroh, Pache, and Dean, I can lock down stolen bases and maybe average as well. We'll see.
All right, and I'm going to go back to the positional scarcity. I'm going to go look at second base now because there's not a lot of – the middle infield in this organization is not great shape right now, actually anywhere between second and third base. I'm going to choose Will Rijo. His name is Rijo, and he dances on sand. But he was a farmhand for the Yankees last season, was taken in the Rule 5 minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft by the Braves, and I imagine he's going to get a lot of time at AAA this season and play kind of all over the infield, but I'm going to take him as a second baseman. He's got a little pop in his bat. He'll give me some average. Don't think I'll get a lot stolen base-wise from him, but when you see the rest of the second base depth chart in this organization, it's a pretty steep drop-off pretty quickly.
Indeed, and I feel like if I don't keep up with the middle infielders here, I'm going to not be able to fill on my spot. So I will also continue the middle infield run here, and I am going to step in and grab Greg Cullen as my second baseman. He had a fantastic season with Rome last year. I expect he will go to Florida Fire Frogs. He has the type of swing where I think being in a typically poor offense environment is not going to affect him very much. I think a line drive is a line drive no matter where you hit it. So Greg Cullen is my eighth pick.
Yeah, I like that pick. He won our coveted OFR Player of the Week award on at least one occasion, if not more, last season. And he played that run even by a little too long. So I think he'll do solidly at Florida and get some good numbers there. Now, I'm going to go back to outfield. I'm going to take a guy who's going to give him some contribution in several different categories. I'm going to take Rafael Ortega. Obviously, not a coveted prospect by any means, but if he has a season like he did last year where he can give me 20-ish home runs, 20-ish stolen bases, and some batting average, I think that's going to help my outfield situation.
No, that makes sense, and I'm not going to give you any grief on it. I took Peter O'Brien, so what can you say? I think I am going to go ahead and grab a third baseman. Since you took CJ Alexander early, I've been kind of biding my time, but I'm going to go ahead and grab Jack Lopez off the Gwinnett roster as my third baseman. I have no idea if that's actually where he's going to play. He'll probably play all over like he did last year, but he's a guy that with a lively ball at AAA has developed a little bit of pop and has hit for pretty good average and looked pretty good this spring. So at least for now, I'll have him and I can move him around as necessary.
Yeah, and with his positional versatility, you can figure he's going to be in that Gwinnett somewhere, flying up somewhere most every night. I'm going to choose Bryce Wilson. He had a very good season for Gwinnett last year, although most laymen wouldn't think so just by seeing his numbers. But when you take into account the AAA baseball, he had the best ERA in the International League. And he's learning some new pitches right now, some of the off-speed stuff to try to help him develop for the major leagues.
Yes, that is a good choice. In fact, that was going to be my next one. So I will have to adjust here. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and grab a catcher, and it's going to be William Contreras. There is at least a chance that he starts the season at AAA, which would be really good for my fantasy team. I don't know if that's smart developmentally, but even if he starts at AA, I don't think it'll be long before he's in AAA. And I still think the world of William Contreras. I know he had a little bit of a tough year last year offensively, but I expect a big bounce back for him.
Hi, this is Future Andy. As you can tell over the course of this podcast, Matt's track has gotten garbled. I blame the internet. So just go ahead and say that his next pick was Ryan Castile, first baseman off the Mississippi Braves roster. And take it away past Andy.
Yeah, that's a good choice too. But he was on my short list. He just, after getting ball on O'Brien, I didn't have a lot of room for another kind of all bat guy. But I might still pick one anyway, just not right now. All right, so I'm going to go back to starting pitching. I feel a little undermanned. You got Wright, De La Cruz, and Wilson at the top of your rotation, so I'm feeling a little naked there. So I'm going to go ahead and grab Touki Toussaint. And this is probably my danger selection as far as possibly him getting to the majors before too long. He looked absolutely splendid in spring training with a new windup. He was commanding the ball to both sides of the plate. The split change looked reinvigorated. And, of course, his curveball is always good. So Touki Toussaint, if he spends really any time in the minor leagues, I'll feel really good. But if he gets an early call to Atlanta, that also probably wouldn't surprise me, and I'd have to adjust from there. But Touki's my pick, number 11.
Yeah, I had him fairly high up on my starting pitcher rankings as well. Like you said, he looked really good in camp, and I think they'll put him in the rotation, although that remains to be seen, especially if they have any kind of log jam at the major league level. So hopefully that works out for you. But I'm going to go back and go ahead and round out my starting outfield. I'm going to go to the next one on my list. I'm going to go with Trey Harris. I'm going to take one of your cousins in this spot.
Awesome.
All right, so Harris is still working his way up through the organization. He's kind of on that mission of he's going to keep hitting, and they're going to keep moving him up until he proves he can't. And so far, he has not proven that he cannot do this. So what I think is going to happen is he'll start off in Mississippi. Eventually, when there's a Atlantic Gwinnett, he'll move up, and hopefully with the baseball up there, he'll get a little more pop in his bat as well and give me some home runs.
Yeah, that was, again, going to be my next pick. So we're definitely on the same wavelength here, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm not sure where to go to now. So whenever I'm not sure where to go to, I generally go pick a reliever. So I'm going to go ahead and grab the first reliever off the board. And this isn't going to shock anybody. I'm going to take Victor Vodnik, who will likely start the season in Florida, though hopefully he will start it in the rotation, and I'll get a lot of wins, strikeouts, and the like out of him out of a relief pitching spot.
Yep, I think this is going to be, will hopefully still be the year of Vodnik. Like you said, I mean, hopefully he'll give you a bunch of wins in the rotation. And if they choose to move him to the bullpen at some point during the season, although I wouldn't think it would happen this season, that's where he can give you some saves. Speaking of some saves, I'm going to go with my first bullpen selection. I'm going to go with Daisbell Hernandez, which I'm sure Mr. Doc Herbert will be happy to hear about. But the reason I'm picking Hernandez here is that he had a very solid season at Florida. He'll be moving on up to Mississippi to begin the season. And with I don't think there'll be a ton of other bullpen options in that Mississippi bullpen. So I think he's going to get the bulk of the save opportunities, and I think I can rack up some numbers there.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And an excellent selection, and not one that I'm surprised with at all. I know you're a big Hernandez fan. So, yeah, I think he'll rack up strikeouts and probably saves too. You know, sticking with my relief pitchers that hopefully won't be relief pitchers, I'm going to grab Brooks Wilson. I think he has a really good chance of being in the Mississippi rotation this year. And he looked fantastic in the Fire Frogs rotation last year. So, again, kind of like Vodnik, hopefully I get starting pitcher production out of a relief pitcher slot.
Yeah, he kind of was on the Phil Pfeiffer light program last season. He was a reliever, and as soon as he got put in that starting rotation at Florida, I mean, he just really cranked it up and performed very well. And I think, like you said, I mean, there's a pretty decent chance he makes it to the back of the Mississippi rotation. And if he's not, it's only because there might be a logjam, and they may have to put him in a kind of a middle reliever role where he can get some real innings in, maybe like a Jonathan Arroyo type role for Mississippi last season, where he might come in and pitch 3-4 innings at a time, or start a second game of a doubleheader. So he'll definitely get you some innings in there. I'm going to go back to the starting rotation, and I'm going to take somebody else who is looking to be in the Mississippi rotation. I'm going to choose Nolan Kingham. And the reason I'm choosing Mr. Kingham is he, of course, he put in his time at Florida last season, got some time. He was fairly solid in Mississippi until he retired late and kind of got backed off on a bit. But I think with us returning there to start the new campaign and still working with the double-A baseball, I think that's going to provide some solid numbers for him.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Since I have two guys in the relief corps that I hopefully will be starters, I'm now going to go to the starting pitching to get someone who I think will probably be a reliever. I'm going to grab Phil Pfeiffer as a starting pitcher. And I do think he will probably relieve mostly in Gwinnett. And if he keeps up his 10 strikeouts per nine or higher and less than three walks per nine, I think that's going to be a bargain at the 14th round.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice there as well. And then even if he stays at Gwinnett, there might be some occasions where he pitches back in the doubleheaders or gets some real solid innings in there. So he will get some wins and hopefully some ERA as well. But and if he gets in the bullpen, then he'll get you some strikeouts and maybe some saves here and there. For my next pick, I'm going to protect myself a little bit here because I chose Alex Jackson earlier. But if for some reason one of the starting catchers in Atlanta gets hurt and offers from my catcher position, I'm going to choose Shea Langeliers.
Yeah, that's a good choice there, obviously. I think Shea Langeliers is set up for a really good season. All right, I'm going to try to finish out my starting rotation here. And keeping with the idea of guys that will get in games, though maybe not in starting pitching, I'm going to take Hayden Deal. I'm not sure what his role is going to be. I think it's going to be in Mississippi. There's a lot of players that are going to be vying for those Mississippi starts. Deal was really good in the first half of the season for Florida, made the Florida State League All-Star team, and then faded in the second half. I think he just kind of ran out of gas, but the guy's got great stuff. And I like him a lot out of either the rotation or the bullpen, though I like him probably out of the bullpen a little bit more. So we'll see what they do with Hayden Deal. But either way, I'm ready to ride with him.
Hi, future Andy here again. And once again, Matt gets garbled here on his next pick, which turns out to be his designated hitter, Braxton Davidson. He believes that Davidson will make a comeback with Mississippi, will play a good amount of first base, and hopefully swat about 20 to 30 home runs for him.
Yes, Matt, that's definitely a pick. All right, going to go back to the outfield. I got a lot of outfield spots still open. I'm going to go kind of off the board a little bit. I'm going to grab Jose Palma. This is a guy we haven't really talked about a lot, but he had a fairly impressive season in kind of a fourth outfielder role with Danville last year. But he's a guy that when in the lineup seems to make something happen. Good speed, really good defense. And I think that defense is what's going to keep him in the lineup for Rome this year. And I should, again, get some stolen bases. So Jose Palma going to be my round 16 pick.
And this is future Andy back again. Unfortunately, Matt's next pick was also garbled. He went upside and took my other cousin, Michael Harris, out of Rome Braves roster. This is his 16th pick, and that finished up his outfield.
Yep, Michael Harris, definitely an exciting talent. I worry that he might be a little overmatched early on.
I had him a little bit
further
well.
Down my board. But, long term, I love Michael Harris, and hopefully he proves me wrong and dominates. All right, I am going to go back to the bullpen, and I need me some saves. So I'm going to grab Casey Kalich, who I think will get most of the save opportunities in Florida this year.
Now, I'm going to choose a guy for the bullpen. I think this guy, he may not give me a lot of saves, but he's going to give me a lot of strikeouts. I'm going to choose Brad Roney.
All right. I'm going to go back and grab a middle infielder. Some interesting talent there. Not a lot that makes you say, oh, yeah, this is a guy, but we're talking about 18th round at this point. So I'm going to try to grab someone I think may be a sleeper in the system, and that's Cody Milligan, second baseman. And he is another guy who may give me some average and should give me some stolen bases. So 15th round, taking a gamble, Cody Milligan.
Yeah, that's a good pick there. Like I said, I mean, we're at that point, we're just kind of trying to find our way. I'm going to choose, and we'll rethink this one a bit. I'm going to choose another. I need to get a middle infielder back up. I'm going to choose Riley Delgado. He's probably pretty good from my backup slot in case Shoemaker Rio gets hurt, that he can at least I can put him out there on my fantasy team and he won't kill me.
Yeah, he's going to hit you around 300, no matter, even if he doesn't give you anything else. So, you know, one of those guys that's probably better in real life than in fantasy, but he's also a guy that you can stick somewhere and feel pretty good that, you know, he's not going to drag your batting average down. All right. I'm going to finish out my outfield now. And I am going to take another kind of off the board guy. I'm going to go with Drew Campbell. Campbell is a guy that went straight to Rome once he signed. He was kind of a later sign because Louisville went fairly far in the college playoffs last year. So he didn't come on into the organization, I think, until early July. So when he started out, he started off a little slow, but he was starting to come around just when he got hurt. But he's a experienced college guy that should be playing well above his talent level at Rome. So I think he can probably put me up some all-round numbers out there. And if not, we'll see what happens. But Drew Campbell is going to round out my outfielder.
All right. I'm going to finish off my starting rotation. I'm going to dig a little deeper into the system on the lower levels. I'm going to go with Ricky DeVito. Mm. DeVito, he got his time in last season. He made it to Rome briefly and pitched fairly well there. And I think starting off there again and being either there or in a pitcher's park in Florida at some point this season, I think that's going to help out the back end of my rotation pretty well.
Yeah, I like DeVito a lot. I think it's a good choice. All right. So I've got one catcher slot left, one corner infield slot, and a bunch of relievers. You know, let's tackle the relievers. I'm going to go with somebody that I think will get some save opportunities either in Mississippi or Gwinnett, and that is Kurt Hoekstra. Drafted as an infielder, converted to pitching last year, and got himself a Major League spring training invite, and he's looked fantastic on the mound. So pulling for Kurt Hoekstra.
All right, for my bullpen pick, I'm going to go with a guy who put in some time in Atlanta last season and did well when he was up there until he got injured and has already been optioned out, so he'll definitely be starting the season in Gwinnett. I'm going to go with Jacob Webb.
Yep, excellent choice. The only reason I didn't take him before now is I think he'll probably be in Atlanta more during the season than he will be in Gwinnett. But yeah, he's ready to go. All right. Again, hunting for saves, I'm going to go with a recent signing. In fact, he signed in spring training. He's a minor league and major league veteran, and that's Jose Manuel Fernandez. Pretty good strikeouts in his minor league career, and we'll probably get some late inning, high leverage opportunities with Gwinnett.
All right, I'm going to go with another reliever. I think this guy's going to give me a lot of strikeouts. He might not give me much else, but he's impressed very well in his few outings he had during spring training. I'm going to go with Tyler Matzek.
All right, continuing my relief pitchers, he's my favorite relief pitcher in all the system. It is, of course, Claudio Custodio.
I had him on my list. I wasn't too far to get to that point. Because, you know, he'll get you some wins, he'll get you strikeouts, and a couple of stolen bases.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a guy who pitched pretty well for Mississippi last season. He's kind of one of these very under-the-radar guys, except to people like us. But he got some attention later on the season when he got to pitch some batting practice to Nick Markakis as he was returning from injury and then got some time in the Arizona Fall League. I'm going to go with Connor Johnstone. he'll probably get an occasional start here and there for wherever between Mississippi and Gwinnett. So I think he's going to help me out in several different categories.
Can't go wrong with the gunslinger. All right, I am going to take a flyer on a guy that I think will get some high leverage situations with Rome this year, and that's Greg LeBon. I was very impressed when I saw him in Danville, and I look for him to pitch a lot in the ninth inning this year for the Braves.
All right, I'm going to go to a guy who probably had deserved a promotion before now, and I think he's going to end up in Mississippi and probably will get a few save opportunities there behind Hernandez. I'm going to choose Brandon White. He spent most of the season at Florida last year. I think he got one brief appearance in Mississippi before being sent back down, but I think he'll be in the Mississippi bullpen to start off the season. I think he'll spend a good chunk of the season there. And in a pitcher's park, he'll give me some good numbers, I hope.
All right. I've got, according to my calculation, I've got one more relief slot open. So I am going to, again, take another flyer. No, I'm not. I'm going to go for a more sure thing. I'm going to take Thomas Burrows.
All right. I still got a couple of relievers left. I'm going to go further down the system for this one. He's a guy who's been a starter in the past, but got some reps as a reliever in winter ball. I'm going to go with Alan Rangel.
Okay, now he's a starter only.
Ah, all right. Well, maybe I won't go there. That's fine. I got other folks I can go with. Let's see.
No, that's the pick that was going to make it.
Ah, that's the difference between victory and even more victory. Let's see. I see a lot of guys on here I don't want to take. I need another corner infielder, so backup. So I'm going to go with Griffin Benson to fill out my offensive slots.
All right. Yeah, I like Griffin Benson, and I hope it comes together for him because he's got some thunder in his bat. All right. So my bullpen is filled at this point. I've got a corner infield spot and a catcher, neither of which aren't competing for right now. So I'll go ahead and get my backup catcher, and I don't know. I'll take Jonathan Morales.
All right, yeah, because when you get to that point, I think there you got about six guys there that are basically all interchangeable.
Right, and my thought is Morales will most likely play mostly in Gwinnett. So he did hit pretty well when he got promoted to AAA last year. So hopefully he keeps that up and the lively ball will inflate his number some.
Okay. For one of my last two reliever spots, I'm going to go with William Woods.
I really like that pick.
And yeah, it's we're getting to be slim pickings, but and of course, I'm sure once we get done, we'll talk about some of the people that weren't picked and why they weren't picked. So you have one selection left?
I do. This will be my last selection. It's a corner infield, but you know, I'll go out with a bang. I'm going to choose Austin Riley.
Hey, you don't know. I mean, that's a solid late pick because if that one hits, it's going to hit big. And if not, I mean, you're out your 25th spot.
That's right.
All right. For my final pick, I'm going to go with Chris Nunn, the driveline wonder. He's already been sent to minor league camp. Not really sure where he's going to end up or what his role is going to be. I'm guessing he's either going to be in Mississippi or Gwinnett, probably more likely Mississippi. And if he is, I think he can put up some big strikeout numbers there for me.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. He was on my short list of relievers as well. So I think that is going to prove to be a pretty good pick. All right. Well, that is the end of the draft. So to review our teams for my team, I've got infield of Bryce Ball, Greg Cullen, Riley Unruh, and Jack Lopez around the horn. In the outfield, I got Christian Pache, Justin Dean, and Jose Palma. And then on the bench, I have Drew Campbell, Cody Milligan, Peter O'Brien, and Austin Riley. And then catchers, William Contreras and Jonathan Morales. My rotation is Ian Anderson, Tucker Davis, and Tuki Toussaint, Phil Pfeiffer, and Hayden Deal. And then a relief corps of Victor Vodnik, Brooks Wilson, Casey Kalich, Kurt Hoekstra, Jose Manuel Fernandez, Claudio Castillo, Greg LeBon, and Thomas Burrows.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. In the catcher position, I've got Alex Jackson and Shea Langeliers. Going around the horn from my starters, Ryan Castile at first base, Wendell Rijo at second base, Braden Shoemake at shortstop, and CJ Alexander at third base. My backup infielders are Griffin Benson and Riley Delgado. For my outfielders, I've got Drew Waters, Rafael Ortega, and the Harris brothers, Trey and Michael. For my DH, I went with Braxton Davidson. For my starting rotation, I have Kyle Wright, Jaciel De La Cruz, Bryce Wilson, Nolan Kingham, and Ricky DeVito. And my bullpen arms are Daisbel Hernandez, Brad Roney, Jacob Webb, Tyler Matzik, Connor Johnstone, Brandon White, William Woods, and Chris Nunn.
All right. Well, just briefly, some of the bigger names that were not drafted, the one that really pops out is Wiskar Yanoa, who is a high-level prospect. I think the composite list had him well within the top 15 prospects. So, Matt, why didn't you grab Mr. Yanoa?
Just not sure of his role or where it will be, or even to what level he'll be at, and not knowing what that's going to be. And when he had times last year where he got absolutely hammered. So I just decided to stay away from that. But that's not even the biggest name that we stayed away from the starting pitcher spot.
You mean Matt Hartman?
Oh yeah, that too. But about Kyle Muller.
Oh yeah, Kyle Muller. You know, it's so funny. Honestly, he wasn't even on my short list.
And I know people will probably look at that funny, but I mean, from a fantasy standpoint with all the walks and I'd imagine what's probably going to happen. He'll just get a brief time in at Mississippi before moving on to Gwinnett. And I think he's going to have some growing pains when he gets to Gwinnett. So that's why I stayed away from him.
Yeah, you have it exactly right. I love Kyle Muller long term, but we saw this in spring training. He was having severe command issues. We saw that at times last year. At times, he was absolutely filthy and looked like he could throw a no-hitter in any given night. But other times, really, really having trouble spotting the fastball. And I think, as you said, I don't think he's going to be – I think he'll start in Mississippi, but I don't think it's going to last very long. And I really am concerned about his first brush at AAA.
Yeah, because if he pitches with that baseball like he was pitching in spring training, at least his first few starts could be very ugly. Now, in the bullpen, there's a couple of arms that weren't picked that could be considered surprises. Now, the first one of mine that I looked really high at was Patrick Weigel, but I think he's going to be putting in more time in Atlanta this season than he will be in Gwinnett. So that's why I had him very high on my board, but I ended up choosing not to select him.
Yeah, that is the exact same reason I'm a huge fan of Patrick Weigel, but I do think that he will be in Atlanta very soon.
And then the another reliever that I did not choose, A.J. Minter. I just didn't want to pull the trigger on that one, seeing what we've seen. And until he can really get himself in a groove, I've just played him as a stay away.
Yeah, you know, I really did consider him. I do think that he'll get some save opportunities at Gwinnett. I just don't know when that's going to be. I can see them maybe using him in low leverage as he works himself back from his injury issues. And with a shortened season, and we just don't know how short that season is, by the time that he's ready for high leverage situations, this season may almost be over. So I just decided to avoid that whole scenario altogether.
Yeah. And I think the only other arm of note on there was Chad Sobotka. And I think he's more of on a downswing in the organization now, and I'm not even 100% sure he'd be on the 40-man roster come opening day.
Yeah, he does seem to be kind of the obvious choice, maybe if they need to designate somebody for assignment to open up a roster spot. And I guess Freddie Tarnock is someone else, someone I still like a lot, but really it just became a question of numbers. And I decided to go with the strategy of getting a couple guys in Pfeiffer and Deal that I'm not sure about their roles, but I feel like they're going to be good no matter what they do. Tarnock is still very much a little bit of a question mark, especially early on and after this long layoff.
Yeah, and looking around, I mean, there's nobody in the catcher position that would have been a surprise that we didn't select, and really in the infield as well. I think the only other players really are in the outfield. Grayson Genesta wasn't selected, but there's enough outfield depth in the organization that he might have been my next pick if I'd had to take another outfielder, but even then I may have kind of looked in the direction of Brandon Parker or Willie Carter to fill that spot.
Yeah, there's a number of college bats that I think will do pretty well at Rome this year. And I mentioned that when I took Drew Campbell. I think he's the most advanced of the lot. But I very well could have been Brandon Parker or Connor Blair or Willie Carter. I almost said Willie Nelson. Willie Carter. And all those guys could take a big step forward playing against much younger pitching.
Yeah, and another player I had considered in the middle infield was Vaughn Grissom. I don't think he'll quite get to Rome initially, but he could still have a pretty good impact this season. I just don't want to take the gamble on it.
Yep, definitely one that we'll be keeping an eye on. Basically, all that prep talent that was drafted last year, you know, is going to be looked at with a lot of interest as the year goes on. And that includes Mekhi Backstrom. It includes pitchers like Tyler Owens and Jared Johnson and Joey Estes. It includes Stephen Paolini and Caden Morton. And even some of the international guys, the younger international guys like, you know, at second base, Eliseo Stevens and Darling Florentino at third. I kind of throw all those guys kind of in the same bucket. They're all about, you know, 18, 19 years old. And you never know when, you know, the switch could flip for any of them and they could start moving quickly.
Yeah, and I think a few of them will click. And if not by, say, like August or so of this season, definitely by the beginning of 2021, that Rome team is going to be pretty loaded.
Yep, it's exciting if we ever get some games in. So everybody, please do your social distancing, wash your hands, all that good stuff. The more that people are able to do that sort of thing, the quicker that we're going to be able to get through this crisis, the less likely we're going to overload our medical systems wherever you're located, and the more lives that'll be saved.
Fellow introverts, this is the day we've lived for. This is our time. Embrace it.
Yeah, I'm actually not having any problems at all working from home. This has been kind of great. I kind of wish the kids had somewhere else to go sometimes, but otherwise I'm not having any issues, and I don't think you are either, Matt.
Nope.
All right, so we will end the show there. Everywhere you are, please be safe, be smart, and good luck to everybody.
I'll talk to y'all again soon.